Hi, this is Ken Arnold from the Night Watchman, and you are listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. It's episode number 225, and we started doing this recently, but basically, we're going to be reviewing a number of movies, new and old, and we will be spoiling them. So, spoiler alert, be prepared. If you don't want movies spoiled, then I don't know what you can do. Skip ahead. What are we going to introduce a beep or something, Simon?
Not a chance. Nope.
No, just basically, and he dies at the end. We're going to start off with that. Well, spoil it right away.
No, I try to be nice. I do try to give a few seconds to be
Simon, you don't try to be nice.
Get it right out of the way.
Anyway, I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Doug.
Welcome, Doug. You're our new member.
Thank you very much for having me. I look forward to espousing about movies.
We do too.
Well, I just wanted everybody to know, me and Doug met over Doug's movie, what is it, movie review, movie blog, something on Facebook group.
Yeah, just a movie review group.
And I always felt bad because I'd seen all the movies that Doug had done and I didn't want to watch them again. So I didn't really participate, but I quite enjoyed the reading.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So I decided since the intern's retired from the show, we needed another member. So this is Doug's big rookie round. He's stepping up to bat, so thank you for being here.
How long has it been since my rookie round? Like a year and a half?
You're still a rookie. Have you ever looked at your photo on the website?
Oh, shut up. Take a picture from when I'm about 15.
Simon, you're like a shark. You smell blood, you just keep going in.
Honestly, you could have picked a worse one.
I could have picked a worse one? I missed one?
Probably.
Oh, then look again.
That's a challenge now. He's going to try to find a worse picture.
I might have taken it off there.
Too late now. So, Kevin, have you watched anything lately? Done anything exciting?
Yeah, I've watched lots of stuff. I mean, I saw some movies which I can't really talk about because we're not reviewing them tonight.
I know.
but it's led me to watch a number of Tarantino films. And James Bond movies. I'm going through some of the more recent James Bond movies again.
I don't have time for those. I've seen them all.
I'll watch them and rewatch them. Love them.
Okay. Doug, have you seen anything exciting lately that you just casually want to talk about?
I've been going through the Barnes & Noble Criterion Collection. So they have the big 50% off sale all month. So I've been going through a lot of older movies, like the one I watched recently is a film noir called Detour.
Nice.
Which was really dark, and I found out that the actor in it actually shot his ex-wife in the head and went to jail for it, so.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that great, these things? Wow. You're like investigating movies, you're like, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, who's this person I never heard of? Oh, he's been to jail for manslaughter.
Wait, is it really manslaughter if he shot his wife on the head?
He claimed it was self-defense, that, like, they were wrestling over the gun.
Oh.
But since nobody was there to say otherwise, that's what the cops went with.
Interesting. That's like husband-wife fonding experience.
Well, look forward to Detour in episode 226, I think. We'll definitely be moving that up on the list, because I'll be watching that this week. So,
cool.
Kevin,
yes.
I think my childhood ended after watching Toy Story 4.
Did it?
I think it did. Kevin?
I think your childhood ended quite a while ago.
Me too.
Dan, you want to tell us who's in it?
Yeah. Okay. Starring Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, Annie Potts, Tony Hale, Keegan-Michael Key, Jordan Peele, Christina Hendricks, and Keanu Reeves.
Okay.
And spoiler warning, everybody dies. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
And this time they actually do go on the incinerator.
Oh, really?
I
go to hell and back.
I think I had a problem with this film right off the beginning.
Uh-oh.
As soon as they made the film about a fork and not about the toys, that annoyed me. Because, I mean, I've grown up with these films. I've seen everyone in theaters. I'm like, a fork? Really? And the fork wants to kill itself. Great. Let him kill himself. Let's move on with the gang. But no, we spent the whole movie searching for a fork that this kid is going to forget about 20 minutes after losing the fork.
Actually, it's a spork.
A spork, yes. It's a spoon fork. It's used for chili, salad, and something else.
But not as a toy.
Not as a toy. I just get really upset with this film because it ruined Toy Story for me. I mean, yes, I have the first three movies, but I mean, the villain stunk. I mean, Keanu Reeves is great. I'll give it that. But I wanted a Toy Story film with my toys. And who has 20 toys in a van on a trip? That kid gets to bring one toy. That's it. Maybe two. Maybe five if I'm in a good mood. But everybody?
But if she can't bring 20 toys, then, like you said, you want a Toy Story movie. You want, like, the gang. And she does bring the gang.
But they don't do anything.
They sit in an RV and
talk to the parents, which I gotta say upset me greatly. Yeah. I was so pissed when they were talking to the parents.
You buzz talk to them?
Yeah, they pretend they're the GPS. Right turn, right turn, right turn.
I thought that was a funny bit.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh. Yeah, but the toys can't talk to people. That ruins the illusion.
But they can. They have. They talk to Sid, number one. And they talk again in this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's establishing that they can, like, humans can understand them, I guess, then. Well, I just think it's the voice box.
And I really just don't feel, other than Evel Knievel, which is Keanu Reeves' character, and Bo Peep, anybody had anything to do. I mean, Kay and Peele are just kind of throwing in here.
Okay, but they're scenes, dude. They're just funny as hell.
They are very
like amazing. When it's like oh, to infinity and my foot. That was great.
But I just wish they had a better adventure for the last one.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously didn't hate it as much. I mean, did you hate it or just disappointed by it?
Disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, a little disappointing for me too. I mean, it's just, I don't know, not a lot to write home about, but it's after 9 years, it's cool going back to the characters. And there's still some funny scenes.
Do they go back to them, really?
Buzz and Woody.
But that's it. They have these and creepy dolls too. That don't talk. The villain rips Woody apart.
Yeah.
And she gets the life she wants, and Woody gets the life he wants with Bo Peep.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just the villain wanted, just thought, like, oh, she can talk, people will like her, but it doesn't matter.
So, do Bo and Woody bang? Is that what I'm supposed to have occurred from this movie?
I mean, romantically interested. I don't know if they bang.
Well, I was just wondering. I mean, they can't talk, so how can he talk to Bo Peep when he lost his voice box?
No, I mean, he doesn't. The voice box is only for the humans. His voice is his voice.
I guess so. Yeah. You see my issues here.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves, the Canadian stuntman, did that stunt jump and O Canada was playing. Is that what Americans feel like when it's, like, really patriotic?
I don't know. We have an actually American on the podcast. Doug, how do you feel when they play the American National Anthem?
Or, like, an Independence Day?
Right now? But, something like Independence Day, you gotta get behind the president on that speech, but I don't know, I don't want to get too political, but I'm not feeling great about America at the moment, but, you know, but that's just me.
So, if they played the American National Anthem during Toy Story 4, would you have been happy?
I probably wouldn't have felt one way or another, to be honest.
See, there's my argument. No. Useless again, man.
No, I'm not trying to make it political. I'm just saying, like, oh, we don't really get a Canadian anthem. And I just thought it was a funny moment, because, like, you know.
Maybe to Canadians, but again, overall, did you like the film?
Yeah.
So you would recommend this film to somebody?
Yeah.
So.
It's like a 7 to me.
Oh, my God. I can't even go there. A 7. Why?
Okay.
What is so enjoyable about this film? The bad jokes with Forky trying to kill himself? We got a suicidal toy. Woody gets decapitated.
I didn't really like Forky that much. I mean, it's just like existential crisis for him. Like, he just thinks he's garbage, but like,
he is garbage.
The kid needs him, you know? But I don't know. I mean, I thought it was entertaining. I like the characters. I liked Key and Peele doing their thing. I like the little, like, Bo Peep's, like, little, that little mini friend. She was funny.
I liked her. But I was wishing this whole film and the toys would take place at the carnival.
Yeah. I mean, like, in the antique store with the whole, like, creepy Dead Silence dolls.
Yeah, but
that's kind of weird for a kids' movie.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy. Kevin, did you see this one?
I did not, no.
Doug, do you have anything else to add?
I could tell you that my kids saw the movie. My parents took them to see it, and they said they were kind of disappointed. I asked them what they thought. They said, they said it was okay, not the best Toy Story movie, and that I asked them if Keanu was funny. They said, nah, not really, but Key and Peele were great. The one thing they said was Key and Peele were great.
Yeah, they're... Okay. I mean, a little disappointed by it, but I think I'd still recommend it.
I say I wouldn't. So there we go. Moving along. Felt like yesterday I saw this film.
There's not really starring a lot of people, but Himesh Patel, Lily James, Ed Sheeran. That's all I really, like, noticed.
That's all you need.
Okay.
Do you have something to say?
So who's starting us off?
You are, of course. The big Beatle fan you are.
Oh, all right. Well, I saw yesterday, and I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a quirky film. It's like... The past is the grandmother test for me. You watch that, and you wouldn't be uncomfortable for any swearing or naughty bits or anything like that. It's just a good quality movie with a fun premise. I like the actors. I like the idea. I mean, if you put it to any kind of scrutiny, doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But basically, he hits his head in the middle of a freak electrical storm that knocks everything out, and the world forgets the Beatles. Actually, it's almost like he enters a parallel world where the Beatles didn't happen. So there's nothing to remember or forget. But he remembers the entire Beatles catalog, and basically starts building a career around playing their songs. So I don't know. I thought it was a great fun film. I liked it a lot.
Is that it?
That's about it.
Oh, I have more to say than that. Let's add some to this. What did you think of his singing is really my question. Obviously, you had no problems with it.
I thought he was good. I thought he had, he wasn't Paul McCartney or John Lennon, but, you know, he adequately covered the songs.
I thought he was terrible. I thought he sounded off-key karaoke.
I disagree with you on that. I saw that film, too. I thought he was a good singer.
Mm-hmm.
See, it did nothing for me.
Well, that's because you have darkness in your heart.
Well, we know that.
You hate everything.
That is true.
See, my issue with the movie was the ending. I just thought anybody who did what he did would be sued into oblivion and just not have the happy ending that he got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by admitting to the public that he cheated them.
And then just giving it all for free, just putting it out there on the internet for free. I'm sure there were tons of contracts he had to sign, and, he sued into oblivion.
For sure. I mean, he signed a record deal.
But aside from that, I did think it was a cute kind of fairy tale film.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that was my problem with it. I found it boring as hell. I did not like it.
Are you a Beatles fan, though?
I am, which is kind of weird. I don't mind their music. I just did. I don't like usually covers. Covers are a big problem for me because it's not the song I want to hear. And I will say, I just didn't find any chemistry between him and Lily James. Ed Sheeran.
I thought they were good together.
I thought Ed Sheeran stood out like a sore thumb. Like, he has no acting ability at all to me.
You know, I'd have to say Ed Sheeran is a bit wooden, but I didn't hate him.
Kate McKinnon was fantastic as always. I love Kate McKinnon. I think she adds depth to the film. I didn't find anything here of usefulness to me. Yeah, I agree. It's a fairy tale. It's just a fairy tale I don't want to be a part of. I never could engage in it. I just found it dull all the time. It's like the Danny Boyle issue for me. Sometimes I love his films. Sometimes I hate his films.
See, this didn't feel like a Danny Boyle film to me. I didn't really get any kind of Danny Boyle oomph to it. Like, maybe the one scene where they first kiss and they're backlit by the TV and they're in silhouette. Everything else just didn't feel very cinematic to me.
It felt a lot like The Beach to me, the same way he shot The Beach. Very dull, very slow pacing, and that was my going, oh, I'm watching The Beach again, which I didn't like either. And that's where I felt the Danny Boyle came in, that stylistic shooting. I could see it from The Beach. And there's nothing wrong with his shooting. It just wasn't for me. It's not my kind of film. And Kevin likes musical theater a little bit more than I do in film, and that's fine. And usually that's a problem for me if I don't engage with it quickly. I lose interest. Because I think Once is a better film. Like, there's a musical film I love is Once. And I got a good feeling coming out of Once. I didn't get a good feeling out of this. I just found him so dull. I found everybody dull. I thought the premise was silly.
Daniel, did you see it?
No, I didn't see this one.
Okay.
So that's why I've been just not talking.
He meant to watch it yesterday, but he was busy.
You mean he meant to watch it yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I disagree. I think it's a great film. I think it's a fun film. It's not going to win any awards, but for if you want just a fun film to watch with the family, I think it's perfectly fine.
Oh, you'll buy it on 4K, so don't worry about it.
No, I'll just buy a digital copy.
There you go.
Can you still buy digital copies?
No, I'll buy it on iTunes, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Something like that. Anyway, all right, so what's next?
Batman Hush?
Batman Hush. Starring Jason O'Mara, Jennifer Morrison, Jeffrey Arend, Chris Cox, Peyton List, and Peyton List, Sherry O'Connell, and Rebecca Romijn. Weird that there's two painless in this.
Wait, there's two people with the same name?
Yeah, it's the exact same name. One is like a family channel, was like on that Jesse show, and then one's like in her 30s, I think.
Oh.
Like one played Poison Ivy and one played Batgirl.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sure, it wasn't the same actress doing both voices?
No, I thought it was a typo, but no, they're different people. And even in the credits, it's different people.
Really?
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see better casting.
So this is based on the issue, the run of Batman that Jim Lee and Jeff Loeb did a few years ago. I want to say, 10 years ago?
Okay.
More than that.
It was Batman 608 to whatever it was, 618 or 620. It was pretty good. The comics were great.
I agree.
They pretty much incorporate every Batman character at some point. So here we have the movie adaptation, and this is more along the line, it fits into the other DC animated films, the New 52 universe version that we've been seeing since Justice League War. So we get the same style of animation that they've used for those other films as well as Young Justice. Which is okay. I mean, it's nice to use the same style, and the same actors are used, like Jason O'Mara, as Batman. I don't know what to say. I mean, they deviate a bit from the story in the comics. Obviously, they couldn't do the whole run, and they had to truncate it a bit, and they had to make some changes. And Hush I think it's pretty much similar to how Hush ends in the comics, where the Riddler, yes. Well, here, I'm giving it away, spoiler. Oh, okay. The Riddler is revealed to have been Hush, but the character of Tommy, I can't remember the last name, but basically is his buddy, the Doctor. He ends up being the Hush character for a while in comics, so I wasn't sure how that played out where they, you know, pretty violently murder him in this movie. Yeah. And in the comic run, I think Jason Todd comes back from the dead in it as the Red Hood.
Thomas Elliot, by the way.
Thomas Elliot, that's, yeah. Good. I knew it was two first names. So I don't know. I mean, I thought this was okay. It's very Batman-Catwoman relationship stuff, which was the in the comic run as well. I would have preferred the style of animation to look a little bit more like Jim Lee's artwork, but c'est la vie. So I don't know. I mean, it was okay. Yeah. It's no Dark Knight or no Year One.
I thought their, I agree, like their relationship like felt like the core, but like I thought like the story structure wasn't really good. It was like, oh, like this guy knows Batman's identity and now he's Poison Ivy controlling everyone and then him controlling everyone.
What? I like the bits.
Yeah, I like the relationship, and then yeah, I like the Superman bit too.
Okay, Doug, it's your big chance.
I thought Jennifer Morrison was, as Catwoman was probably the highlight of the movie for me. I thought she did probably the best job. Jason O'Mara, I haven't been the biggest fan of his as Batman, but I did like Jennifer Morrison, and I also really liked the chemistry between Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca Romijn. It probably helps that they're married, but I think they work really well together.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I have to agree with Doug on all his points, actually. I really like the use of Poison Ivy in this film. I find she's a very underused character in the comics, and I find most animated series treat her like a joke more than anything else. And I found this series, I found a good use for her. I like the characters. I wish I had a little bit more backstory on the Hood for people. I mean, obviously, reading the comics, I have much more backstory going into this. But I liked it. I thought it was very well paced. I enjoyed the action. It was nonstop. I don't think I agree with Doug. I think Batman needs to sound like he's going to kick your ass. And Jason O'Mara does not sound like he's going to kick my ass.
Kind of bored.
He did get a concussion in the film, though. So maybe it was the bat concussion. Make him a little drowsy.
The bat concussion.
I guess so. But I got to give you, Jennifer Morrison did a fantastic job as Catwoman. That was shocking, actually. Because usually Jennifer Morrison, I find it a little flat. In movies and shows, I don't really like her as an actress, but she worked well as a voice actor. And I like the voice of Harley. I still like the new Harley a lot. I think she does a good job whenever she shows up.
Isn't it usually Tara Strong?
It wasn't Tara Strong in this one. It's somebody else.
No. Yeah.
And again, I enjoy these films. I think they're hit and miss. Like, some of them I really like, and this one I did enjoy. I thought it moved well. They introduced a lot of characters. It was in and out. I find they didn't. I think they had a lot of story to tell for the time they had. I think this comes in about an hour and a half. I wish they had about 2 hours. And I think it would have been perfect.
Yeah, I thought Jeffrey Wren was the villain. Like, as the Riddler, too, was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked how they took it back to the Batman and they went into the Robin. There was an empty case. I liked all that. And the dead Robin. I thought it worked perfectly. I want Damian to die at any point. That would be great. Never have to see him again. I'd be quite happy with that.
Kind of makes me laugh that, like, Jeffrey Rand is the guy in Super Troopers. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
How else are they going to taste?
I had one problem I had is at the end. Like, why is her problem that she, like, that Batman won't break his morals, that, like, he wouldn't let him die? Like, I just thought, like, wait, so you want him to kill people? I kind of had the problem with that, how that scene played out.
I think it was more that she was willing to change for him, but he was so steadfastly not willing to change for anybody. He was Batman, and he wasn't going to change anything about himself, even for the love of his life.
Okay, but even though that's asking, like, oh, just kill someone. I don't know.
That's Batman.
Well, I think if Batman were to kill, that would fundamentally change Batman as character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they can't make that. I mean, maybe in a future or an alternate version they can do that kind of stuff, but for a main DC Batman title or movie, you can't have Batman kill.
Yeah, it just seems like a weird ask.
Well, Batman was also willing to put himself in jeopardy to save the Riddler, who had murdered people.
Yeah.
She was also saying, you know, like, you're willing to risk your life to save this killer.
Yeah, and she and hers too, because she wouldn't have let him like stay there. Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's fair actually. Okay. I don't know, just the way it was written, I was like, oh, wait, I don't know.
But that's his moral code. Batman's moral code is that nobody dies on his watch, even a villain.
Yeah. True. Okay. Yeah, well, it wasn't a bad movie. I just didn't think that the structure was very good for me.
Well, that's what I said. You don't have the backstory of 15 comics that we all read. So three of us or four of us read the comics, so.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've never really picked up a comic book.
Okay, moving along to our Netflix special.
Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil, and Vile. Big mouthful. Starring Zac Efron, Lily Collins, Kaya Scodelario, I still can't say her name, Haley Joel Osment, Terry Kinney, and John Malkovich.
Continue.
So have we all seen this?
I think so.
I think, yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, well, Daniel, why don't you start us off?
Okay. I don't know. It felt like I was very bored during it. I like serial killers, but I don't know, just the fact that like, it just focuses so much on like how like, oh, because it doesn't really feel like it focuses a lot on did he really do it, but it just because how we – sorry, what am I trying to say? Like at the end, it's like the girlfriend was the one that called in the tip on that Ted Bundy is the one that like, is – a suspect for them, and then that's just eating her alive throughout the movie. And I don't know, I just didn't really feel like it was. I didn't find it that interesting at all. It was just a slog for me.
Wow.
It was well acted, but I didn't really like it.
Simon,
I'm going to say I found it a slog at times. I think the problem is the courtroom drama isn't interesting.
Yeah.
Like, they're giving us facts and doing this. Like, I wanted to know more about how he escaped twice. Like, it does a bit of that in the first escape, I get it, and he goes. I was more interested in why, where is he hiding? How does he get to Florida? How does he get here? Like, we know he killed people. I think we can nail that. I really don't need to know if he's a suspect, isn't he a suspect. I mean, I thought the stuff with the girlfriend was just kind of dull. I'm like, I could have read this on Wiki. And just being just as happy. Mm-hmm. I thought the audience, and I just think Lily James was doing the best she could with a very little script as possible. Lily Collins. I wish there was more. I don't know. I mean, I would like to see some detective work maybe or something. Or maybe the film was just focusing on the courtroom stuff. Like, I think my problem with the film is it was lacking direction at times for me.
And I feel like a serial killer maybe should focus on the serial killer and not the girlfriend.
Yeah, I think so. What about you, Doug?
I did not care for this movie. I thought it kind of glamorized Ted Bundy in a way that really kind of made me feel uncomfortable watching it. Mm-hmm. My wife is a true crime fanatic, so I can tell you chapter and verse on Ted Bundy. And the fact that what he did was so horrible, I felt it kind of got glossed over in the film. It felt to me like they were so happy that they got Zac Efron to play so much against type that they didn't dirty him up enough, I feel. Like the one bit of on-screen violence was at the very end, and it was tame compared to what Ted Bundy actually did. And coming on the heels of that documentary miniseries that the director made, the Ted Bundy tapes that showed all the women loving Ted Bundy and thinking because he's so handsome there's no way he could be guilty. I just felt it kind of glamorized Bundy a bit too much for my taste.
But I think that was the point of the film. I have to agree with you. I think that's what they were going for.
It could be what they were going for, maybe it's just me. I don't think Bundy should be glamorized.
Well, I agree. I mean, he does die at the end, but I mean, there was just no. I didn't see any remorse from him ever, but I don't know if he ever gave remorse.
The impression, no. I mean, I didn't mind it, but I do agree with Doug. Like, it made me uncomfortable to watch this because we all know that Ted Bundy was the killer. He was proved to be guilty. And I think the movie does a very good job of trying to present him as someone who could be innocent. And it's only really until the last where he confides, like, he basically confesses. But he never says it out loud. He never admits that he's guilty. There's a lot of doubt put into the mind of the viewer if you don't know the story, that he may not have done this, that he may have been framed. And I thought that was a kind of a strange point. We're following the girlfriend's point of view, obviously. Yeah. She doesn't know if he's guilty or not either. And she has her doubts. And yeah, she did call it in. But, you know, Could that have been a mistake? Could they have just got, like, was his pleading that he was innocent coming from, could it have been true? Could he have not have been guilty of the crimes? And the fact that he was, that wasn't a very good payoff. It was not, I don't know, I don't think it made up for the fact that it glamorized him and made him this, like, hunky guy that all these girls were falling for and all that stuff. I found it very weird.
Yeah.
In that respect. And I didn't get, I mean, I didn't hate it again, but I didn't feel good after the end of it. But I was intrigued, and I did want to learn more. So okay. I'll give it that.
Because he didn't even confess until, like, a week, like, a day or so before his execution, right?
Right, and they made it like he confessed for reasons other than he was guilty, like he wanted to confess his guilt. It was like to get people off his back or to get extension of execution for a little bit longer or I don't know.
Yeah. Like it seems like for the girlfriend, like they played like it seemed for the girlfriend's peace of mind when he does the hacksaw on the mirror.
Yeah,
and
I want to wonder, there's a scene I wanted to discuss a bit. Did that really happen?
Probably not.
Like, I think that was a big load of crap. Like, I mean, well, ask Doug. His wife listens to the podcast. Was that ever mentioned?
It probably didn't happen exactly like that, but the movie is based on the memoir of the girlfriend.
Oh, true.
There probably is some truth. He probably did in some way confess to her. Because he probably had feelings for her and wanted to ease her. That since it was from her point of view, she probably felt that he wanted to ease her suffering and let her off the hook with calling into the tip line by confessing to her. Whether that's true or not, I can't really say because it is from her point of view and we don't know exactly what was said between her and Ted.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my problem. I think she might have written in the book saying, hey, I was right all along. Maybe to ease her own suffering. So that was just my guess.
No, I got the impression that she did it to get back at him. Not that he was guilty of it. Not that she felt he was guilty of the crime. It was later on she was convinced of his guilt. So when she finally did confront him and say, what did you do with the girl's head? That it was then that he confessed.
Yeah.
But she went in there going, just let me off the hook. Tell me that you did this. So that I don't have these doubts that I somehow made a mistake and led you to the police and the police scapegoated you and everything else as you claimed.
And then he probably confessed to the cops before his execution, like, okay, these are the people I killed.
But I don't know, I mean,
and
that to me is like a forced confession, right? Like, he's going to go, he knows he's going to go, he's like, yeah, I did it. What the hell, who cares now? Like, did he? Did he? Who knows?
I mean, if he's really, like, conniving, he might have, like, held, like, oh, I'll give you a name a day, like, for more life. I don't know.
Well, my thing is, in the Florida case, if he hadn't bit the girl in the ass, he probably doesn't get busted. Because that seemed to be the biggest evidence for them.
He would have been captured eventually. He was going into, like, berserker mode and just doing horrible things. And I think it might have actually been Ted Bundy who said, you know, your first murder, you have everything all planned out. And then by your 10th, you forget where you left the crowbar. Some kind of joke like that. He was a horrible person. He would have been caught eventually. He was just getting more and more extreme.
Yeah, like, oh, Ted Bundy's in Florida. Oh, this happens in Florida, like something just like he does. Yeah. Because, like, that circumstantial evidence might have been enough almost.
Okay, well, this kind of leads in nicely to our next film, Intruder.
The Intruder, yes. Starring Michael Ealy, Megan Good, Dennis Quaid, and Joseph Sikora. Okay, I think we were the only ones that saw that. Say, Sam?
I think so, but nobody else needs to see this. I think we've saved the audience.
No. Do you want to start off on it?
I will totally start off. We've seen this film 100 times.
Yeah.
We saw this film last year, and I can't remember what it was called, with another black couple. When they're out in a cabin and somebody intrudes in on them.
Yeah, Traffic?
Yeah, I think it was called Traffic. I think you're right with the cell phones. Very similar Traffic. Film at times. Obviously different problems, but I mean, I have a lot of issues with this. So they went through a house and bought a house. Were we correct on this?
Yeah.
They liked the price. They gave him the money. He's supposed to be, okay. How do they miss this room?
Oh,
like, they never noticed him sleeping in the house, snoring for, like, a year?
Yeah, the timeline was weird. It was from, what, like, October? Because they went through Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, like, October to, like, February?
Exactly.
And he's squatting in their house for 5 months.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, he's like, well, we have security cameras. He must be sneaking in somewhere. And I'm kind of like, you guys have a house. You don't notice a secret room?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess it was pretty, like, fastened into the wall, right? And then they don't, but what? Why wouldn't they check in that shed and then see underneath it that it leads into the house?
It was just bizarre like that. And the scene when the woman falls down the stairs when she finds the room, I mean, that is terrible shooting.
Yeah, was that Megan Good who fell down?
Yes, and she's like, oh my god, and then she imagines, oh, I'm injured. I'm like, no, you're not, get up. You fell down like 2 flights of stairs, and they look pretty wide. So I just had so many issues. Like, we knew he was the bad guy off the beginning.
Yeah, and Dennis Quaid usually can phone it in pretty good, like just being.
Oh,
like,
he phoned this like, in.
Like, you know, like he, I think he's a good actor. He just doesn't really. See, in this movie, this is the first one I've kind of seen him trying to act like not comfortable with the character, like trying to be creepy, and it doesn't work at all.
Oh, I have to agree with you. I just thought. We've seen this film. I'm kind of like, and he's bringing her pizza, and he's coming over for Thanksgiving, and nobody else likes him but her. And I'm kind of like, why do you like this guy?
And I think it's just she's too shy to say no. I don't know.
Well, the whole thing is, I mean, they're from – I just didn't understand why she was doing this. My only guess is she distrusts the Michael Ealy character so much – that she needs somebody to depend on.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, he has, like, all the, like, adult, like, mistrust and, like, I guess he did adultery or kiss someone at one point.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if it was her trying to find trust in him, or I just think it might have been her trying to find the good in him. Like, oh, like, hey, you sold us this house. You like us, right? And, I mean, he was right to be like, oh, no, just get away, because you're just, all right, once you sell a house, just fuck off.
Well, I thought it was weird when he said you can keep all the furniture. I'm like, oh, there's going to be a problem right there.
Yeah.
Like, who keeps all his furniture? And he's like, oh, you changed that picture. I'm like, buddy, you sold them the house. They're going to change things.
Like, you hear, like, you just, like, he's just staring at it, and then he's, And it wasn't a good character. It's not a good movie.
It's just a piece of junk. I don't know why this thing was made. I don't know who funded this, but they should give the money to Doug.
So I mean, Doug it's basically it's basically the screen gems, like September release, right? Like a stalker movie. Oh.
Should have gone to VOD.
Just released in April.
Should just gone right to VOD, and we would never have had to see it.
Yeah.
Speaking of train wrecks, are we doing The Lion King? Yes, right?
Ouch. Yeah. Okay, so starring The Lion King, starring Donald Glover, Beyonce, James Earl Jones, Chiwetel Ejiofor, Seth Rogen, Billy Eichner, John Oliver, and Keegan-Michael Key.
So I'm going to start. I was upset watching this film at all times.
Yeah, what was it that you texted me? What the WTF is this?
Yeah, oh, it was this scene. I'm sitting there watching it, and it's right. He goes, "I'm going to be a mighty king." And the stupid animals are walking down. They're all singing. I'm like, this looks terrible. It just makes no sense that this group of animals is hanging out singing.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It looks awful. And then the whole movie, like when they do the scene with Scar at the end, I'm like, this looks bad too.
Yeah.
And the hyena talking, then was terrible. I just thought the animals trying to talk did not work at all. The songs didn't work for me in this film again. I'm like, they ruined a perfect movie and made garbage.
They butchered the villain's song. It was like rhythmic talking.
I thought the whole Scar scenes did not make sense. I thought the hyenas didn't work. I thought the singing was dumb. I'm like, if you're going to redo this film, I don't want James Earl Jones back.
Yeah, like he's literally just speaking the same exact lines.
Why is he back?
Like at one point I was like, wait, did they just reuse his lines, like his voice recording from the 94 one?
Well, they might as well. And the thing is, Timba and Pumbaa are my favorite characters.
Yeah.
From the original. Absolute favorite. Seth Rogen sitting there singing about bugs and with Simba does not do a thing for me. I'm like, this is terrible.
I didn't think Seth Rogen was too bad.
It wasn't that. It was just the stupid songs. They're singing Hakuna Matata while eating bugs.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Hakuna Matata in the jungle, and then Nala comes out of nowhere. I thought that was kind of decent. Billy Eichner as Timon was kind of distracting because I thought he would, like, at any point he'd be like, "Miss, like, Nala for a dollar. Like, are you interested in Simba?" Like, I don't know.
It did nothing for me. I think Doug and Kevin dodged the bullet on this one. Absolutely, I felt my childhood ripped from me.
I mean, they're remaking an animated movie with just a CGI animated movie.
But the animated movie is perfect.
Yeah.
You ruined a perfect film.
And I think
film.
That's why I didn't rush to see it, because I've seen this movie.
You have done better.
And all I've done is trade up the animation for CGI characters.
Which do nothing for me. Do not add to the film in any way.
And they can't emote.
And they can't emote is my biggest issue.
My question is, how did the animals in The Lion King compare to Favreau's live-action Jungle Book? Which is a movie I actually really liked. I really agree with you. I enjoyed the Jungle Book.
They look great. They look really good. But the singing is terrible. It doesn't work for the actions the animals are doing. It does not work for me at any time. And the animals look good. But the hyenas just looked off to me. I had a lot of problems with the hyenas.
Yeah.
And the fact that they look too real?
They didn't. Like, I can't see a hyena hanging out with a lion.
Or make facial expressions.
They don't. Because they're talking like that Whoopi Goldberg voice in The Lion King. And I'm hearing it. I hear it. And they're trying to crack jokes in this. And I'm like, it's just a hyena looking at me, cracking a joke. I'm like, no, you're not. There's no movement here. It just felt very sterile, I guess. I felt bad. I'm just like, this just ruined it. My kids went to see it. And I'm like, I don't even want to hear what you thought of it.
No, yeah, I mean, it's really flat. And, like, I finally got to, at the end, like, when Simba and Scar are fighting, you know, like, they look so alike, it's kind of hard to tell who's who.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and now you only know when one falls, and it's like, all right. Okay, that's Scar then.
Well, then the hyenas eat them, and it didn't even look good. I mean, there's no blood in this film.
No.
And I really felt that, I mean, kids probably might have been scared, but it did nothing. Like, I didn't feel it.
I mean, yeah, a lot of it's beat for beat, you know? And it's just way less effective.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah. I mean, the voice acting wasn't, like, too bad. But just, yeah. They ruined the villain song, and it's just mostly shot for shot. Just rewatch their original.
I agree, 100%.
So making a lot of money, though.
Who opens the vault now since the intern retired?
I don't have a good screechy voice.
Kevin, who's opening the vault?
You can open the vault.
Open the vault. Hey, we only have one movie in here. Dan, who's in this movie called Little Hours?
Tucci, John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Fred Armisen, and Nick Offerman.
Okay, first of all, who funded this thing?
I think Doug did.
This, not founded, funded it. This is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Literally, this film is an hour and a half of nonsense.
Hey, look, none swearing. That's a great gimmick, right, for an hour and a half?
They don't, but there's no real point to this film.
No.
It's like the Little Hours. Like, I went nuts watching this. I found no point at any time. I just thought it was the most bizarre thing I'd ever seen.
I had fun watching it. I'll be honest. It made me, if a movie makes me laugh more than once, I go with it, and I remember laughing at this a few times.
Well, I thought the washing scene was quite good.
I also thought I remember John C. Reilly being funny in it.
He's pretty good. I will give John C. Reilly. But the thing is, there's just no plot. It's like little snippets of things, and then we're like, okay, move on to the next scene. I'm like, what is going on here? And the end of this film just gets bizarre.
Dave Franco's in this too, right? The one that they all want to smash?
Yes. He plays the
music. Okay.
It kind of reminded me, I mean, this is lofty goals, but Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It kind of had it same time period-ish and kind of different scenes. They don't always connect with the scene before it, but were amusing on their own, I thought. I'm not saying it's as good as Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but I had fun with it.
I can see you having fun with it, but you're comparing it to a work of art. Like, you're comparing the comic genius to Kate Martucci's Matucci running around naked. I mean, that's not the same thing. Like, there's no jokes in this film that wouldn't have made Monty Python's Holy Grail. Not one joke in here would have made that film.
No, but I still had a good time with it, and I had the director, Jeff Baena, I think his name, Baena. I know he's in a long-term relationship with Aubrey Plaza, and they had done a movie previous called Life After Beth, which is a zombie comedy that was, it was cute, but I think Little Hours was a little more professionally made and showed a little bit more filmmaker of Jeff Baena.
I have no issues with the filmmaking. It's just the actual plot. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah, it was just random. I don't remember a lot about this. I just remember not liking it. And I didn't mind Life After Beth too much.
It's fair.
But I also didn't really love Life After Beth.
That's true. Well, now I'm curious. It had Dane DeHaan in Life After Beth, and
yeah.
I'm not a big Dane DeHaan fan.
Oh, I love Chronicle, but that's about it for Dane DeHaan.
I hated Chronicle.
Oh, I love Chronicle.
I have an allergy to found footage films. I think there's maybe one that I've liked, and that was Blair Witch Project.
Ooh.
30 years ago.
I was going to say, you need to watch Wreck, then. I was going to say Wreck will stand up.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about Wreck. Wreck is good.
Thank you.
I like Wreck.
Not given Wreck, we're going to fight going on right now. It's like somebody saying that Jackie Chan learned from, I don't know, Buster Keaton. Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah,
I see more mannerisms in Buster Keaton than Harold Lloyd say.
But it all comes back to Chaplin anyway. He's the king, so.
Yes.
Okay. That's it. We're done, guys. Nothing else?
I think that's it for me.
Fair enough. Did anybody buy anything?
No.
I bought Detour from Barnes & Noble.
Okay, Doug, here's a question for you.
Yes?
Being an American, you have a little bit more access to DVDs and things than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still buy physical media then? Obviously you do if you went to Barnes & Noble. And you get 50% off, or do you need to be a member to get 50% off?
It was just something they did this for the month of July. They had a special 50% off sale on a Criterion Collection Blu-rays.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get an extra 10% if you're a member, don't you, though?
If you do it in-store.
I don't understand. So I have to buy it in the store?
Yeah, if you order online, you don't get the additional 10%. You just get the 50.
Okay. So why didn't you buy it in the store? They didn't have it?
Oh, no, I did. I did buy it in the store.
So you got 60% off?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just trying to understand how things work. Do you still go to FYI?
Sometimes. I tend to go where stuff is the cheapest.
Okay.
But I'm a big physical media person. I'm afraid that the internet will collapse one day and won't have access to my movies.
That's fair enough. I guess we're done, guys. We can wrap up. Yay.
Oh, no, I also bought a few things.
Oh, go ahead.
So I'm the opposite these days. I'm all just digital media. I don't bother. I don't want to – I've already got an apartment full of DVDs. So I don't want to keep adding more to it. So there were some movies on sale on iTunes. So I picked up Inglourious Basterds, The Hateful Eight, The Majestic, which I still have to watch again. I've seen it before, but I'd like to revisit it. And what else I got? I got obviously Avengers Endgame was the other one I picked up.
Batman Hush.
Okay. Batman Hush was a few weeks back.
Okay.
Actually, I think I had it by the time we recorded our last episode.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Good night, guys.
Hey, do you want to tell us about some of your other shows you've done recently?
Yeah, I just did an interview with the director of a new, really good film called Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
I have one tomorrow night. I guess we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but it should be happening, called The Chair Gang, which is a 26-episode web series available on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I have the creator of the show coming on, and I think that's about all I've done. And I'll have the creator of a film called Eden, and he's going to kill me. I can't remember his name off top. Robbie something. He's going to kill me. And he's coming up next, and that's really about it. And there's one 20 with Machado should be released in the next few days.
Okay, cool. And actually, I wanted to say, I don't know if you guys have seen The Boys yet, but that's something I highly recommend.
The TV show? Maybe
something we could talk about in the future.
You want me to watch a TV show?
You watch TV shows.
I do a little bit, not a lot, though, but I'll watch The Boys for you.
I think he'll dig it.
Okay, I'll add it to the list. Okay, if they make it...
Simon makes us watch it.
Yay. Have a good night, boys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Hello, listener of whatever podcast this is. I'm your host, Chris Cogswell. Here is my co-host, Marie Mayhew.
Hello, listener of other podcasts.
If you like things like ghosts, the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, talking about how frustrating Alex Jones is, then come listen to the Mad Scientist Podcast. Marie, what other topics have we covered?
Oh my God, what haven't we covered? We've covered talking trees, haunted paintings, curses, the history of surgery, the Winchester Mystery House, economic collapse, and an episode on cats.
So if you like the hard science and philosophy behind your paranormal claims, and also a little bit of humor and the occasional singing interlude, then come listen to the Mad Scientist Podcast.